Welcome to The Wow Within. I'm Jen Potter, your host, where we talk to people from all over the world in different specialties, talking about the things that they do, the jobs that they love, and the life that they created. Today, I have Latifa Mina joining us. She does so many amazing things. She primarily works with animals. She is a professional animal psychic and communicator. She has many talents, and she is very multifaceted. Thank you so much for joining us today, Latifa.
Oh, hi. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. And we were talking a little bit before the show started. If you want to tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do, and we'll just jump right into it.
You bet. It's going on about 19 or 20 years now. I started in 2001. I'm a professional animal psychic and communicator. I chat with animals living and passed over, as well as humans that are living and passed over. So I do clairvoyancy, mediumship, things like that as well, do some energy work. But I think the biggest gift I have is understanding and helping those people really understand their animals and why their animals do weird things, don't do weird things, and helping promote that relationship so they have a better journey moving forward.
I really love that, right? And especially because we can't communicate, not many people can communicate with their animals other than the language that they create, right? And so I think being able to understand them on a completely different level is a really beautiful thing. And it's something that I am so intrigued by, right? We talked about it before. I'm very woo-woo. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, and this kind of, it spans across not just talking to animals, but across the board, but intuition. What is intuition?
Intuition, my definition, is the ability to pay attention to that feeling you get and that gut core of you're like, you know something, but you don't know how you know it. You don't know why you know it, but you know it. There's not a person on the planet that hasn't had intuition of they know something's coming or going on or something's happened. They're not sure how or why. But intuition on the back end and the science part for me is your connection to divine. So into spirit. So when you are truly what I call grounded and centered, you are connected to the divine, you are connected to spirit, your vibration and your intuition will rise. And that allows you to be able to receive the messages, to understand what the message is, that's whether spirit's giving it to you or the animal's giving it to you. It doesn't matter. It's staying connected to the divine and practicing understanding the intuition. I think a lot of people actually don't know what it is. I mean, they might have a feeling or they might have some type of a feeling or a vibration or a thought, even if it's just a thought that something happened or, you know, I know that. I don't know how I know that or why I know that. A lot of people will brush it off.
Right.
But on the other end, they don't really dive into the, what is that and how come I have it? So that's a connection to the divine is it, and the ability to pay attention to what your body's telling you, what that message is.
And that's hard, right? Like we're wired, you know, to receive these messages. And, you know, I saw a meme just recently that said people believe in the waves of, you know, TVs to get the TV and the internet, like Wi-Fi, but you don't believe that energy exists. And that to me was like, yeah, absolutely, right? Like if all of these things exist, especially Wi-Fi, like we have to be tapping into something. Mm-hmm. And ironically, the thing that I focus on the most in my business is getting people to follow their intuition. So for my business specifically, that's something that I focus on. And so like, you know, just listening to you talk about it, you're like, yes, that's exactly what it is. And it's hard, right? It's hard for people to trust that gut feeling, but it's that gut feeling that we've learned to kind of brush aside since childhood. I feel like society has like taught us to like, oh, just ignore that. This is what you should be doing, right? And it's bringing back that sense of, you know, what is your body telling you? You know, when your stomach is upset or you get a migraine, when things are happening, your body is telling you you should or shouldn't be doing something. And there's so many different parts of it, which I'm always so intrigued. And when I talk to other people who feel the same way, it's like, I love to hear, you know, how you describe it to other people and how you get other people to kind of tap into that. And so how do you, like, so when we're talking about intuition and, you know, that gut feeling and that connection with the animals, and how do you intertwine that intuition with, you know, these pet owners and their animals?
I think the biggest first hurdle is to get the human part to recognize what it is. Okay, what is this? Second, the biggest next hurdle is accepting it. A lot of people, even though they'll have a reading and they'll just know their animal's doing this or doing that, or they, and nobody knows their animal more than they, but getting them not to brush it aside, getting them to dive deeper into it. Those are the biggest two hurdles I get, is getting people to believe they can do it. They have the ability to have intuition, to receive their own messages. And what do I do with it? After they accept it, what do I do with it? There's a lot of fear based around that. And a lot of people don't want to know or look forward to having intuition, or they don't want to dive into that. But I keep telling my clients that the more you pay attention to your intuition, the more the animals will speak to you. And you'll know, you'll just have that feeling like they're in trouble or they just don't feel good. Our eyes are awesome. I mean, we see our animal behavior all the time, but sometimes you just get that gut feeling and you have to pay attention to it. And teaching people to trust that is huge. That is a biggest hurdle of accepting and trusting it. And I get a lot of people like, I'm not intuitive, I'm not psychic. You don't have to be. It doesn't have to be your main thing. It doesn't have to be what you do all right. the time. But accepting it and knowing that it's present and that you can do it can absolutely help them. Proof is in the pudding. So right. the more they trust themselves and the more that they write down, I get my clients to write it down. If you've had a thought or a feeling, jot it down. What date and time did it happen? What was it involving? What was it involving? And so then in a month or a week or a day or an hour or whatever, when it comes and is true, they can go back and look. Yeah, I did. I had that intuition. It's getting people to use it and trust in it. And that's just a process.
And they're seeking out your expertise. So they're intrigued by it, right?
Oh, yes.
So they already have that, ooh, I want to learn, but there is so much fear around it. And it's really interesting because the biggest hurdle is fear, yet they're the ones that are reaching out to you. Saying,
yeah, I know.
So it's funny because I'm listening to that and I'm like, so you want to do this, but you're going to fight me. And just remember, you're paying me to do this, you know?
But, you know, there's a lot of comfort sometimes when, and I get that from my clients, like, I don't want to know the intuition part, so I'm going to come to you. I trust your intuition. A lot of my clients come from word of mouth. You help so-and-so, you were so on with that, blah, 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 that trust starts to get built. And it's much easier in this sort of a situation to trust somebody like me or somebody like you that has done this for years than diving off on their own. And so I get that part of the two. I understand that part.
And just knowing that you've comforted other people, I think that's really big, right? And I think any type of relationship that you're building, especially when it comes to something so, we'll say precious, right? Our animals are like our children. I just say it's one extra kid that, you know, that we take care of. But if I compare like my dog to my youngest child, I'm like, they're literally the same. They're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
And so it's funny. It's just like one of them, I can understand what they're saying, but you know, like you're saying, you can get down to a different level and really understand your pup. And so I know some of it's probably, you know, part of your process when you're doing it. When you first meet a client, What does the initial process look like for someone who's going to work with you? Is it like a one-off? Does it span over several visits? Like, what does that look like?
My clients are all over the board. I have people who've been to me once. I have people who come every week, every month. I have people who need me for a short period of time, and then I don't hear from them for a while. So it's not a regular routine with me. Most people will reach out to me when they're in a place of either crisis with an animal, and it can be a medical, it can be physical medical, or it can actually be a behavior thing. Like, we've tried everything in the world and we just can't get this fixed. I need to know what's going on. So my interactions, like I said, are, and I have a lot of wonderful clients. They're all over the world. And I have some who just need me every 3 months, 6 months. I don't force anybody. Whenever they need me, they reach out and contact me. So it's not a set schedule, so to speak. They kind of, when they need me, they reach out. I don't want to know anything prior to the reading. So I don't really want to know a lot about the people or the animals or anything like that. The less I know, the better the reading goes.
I love that so much, because you're taking it from like that pure place. And I think if they're coming at you, not giving you information, you're able to already start helping them. You're building that trust even further, right?
Yes. And it's clear. I don't want to get boggled down with, I already know this animals having this issue. It's like, I just want to be a clean slate, so the human and the animal can share with me whatever they need to share, and divine and spirit can share whatever they need to share. So I don't want it clouded or biased in any way.
I love that. And I can't believe we're already at the end of our first segment. And when we come back, we're going to dive even further into the intuition, as well as the connection that you have with the animals and the growth. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Wow Within. I am joined with Latifa Mina, who is a psychic who talks specifically to animals, and she is able to bridge the gap between animal and human connection through intuition. And prior to the break, we were talking about what intuition is and how to start to trust it and how she gains the trust with her clients. So thank you so much for being here and welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks.
Absolutely. So we were talking about starting to work with a client, and, you know, obviously they have the fears of, you know, trying to trust the intuition and trying to bridge that communication. But like you said, a lot of times you're the last, like, I don't know what to do. I will try anything. Please help me. And so when we can't talk to animals, but we can, How do we start to open that line of communication up with our animal?
I'm going to step back a minute. Nobody knows your animal more than you do. So the first sign is knowing you're seeing different behaviors. The behavior's different. They're not doing this. They're not doing what they normally do. Or it's changed to where they're doing something super weird or out of the ordinary. Sometimes you can just look at their face and know they're in pain. You can just see that they just don't feel good. It's obvious when they're limping, things like that. I mean, that's a no-brainer when they're doing that. The main thing for me is when clients come to me, if we're doing a phone session, I will have them take a current face view photo. And I use the picture taken the day of or before to connect. That I don't want a picture that's a week old or a month old, because I'll get old information. But I will ask the person to create a list of questions. They keep that with them. Like I said, I don't want to know anything prior to the reading. And I will start off by allowing the animal to know that this is a safe place. So I will tell them, mommy or daddy wants to chat. This is a safe place. We're not going to talk about anything you don't want to talk about. There's no judgment. There's no right or wrong. We just want to provide and gather information to help you so you can have the best life and the best journey. And when I start off a session like that, the intuition and the vibration just connects. The animals are so intuitive anyway that they just connect right away. They're like, oh, okay, I got it. It puts the animal at ease. It puts the owner at ease. And it kind of sets the precedence that this isn't really about wrong or right. This is about just gathering information that we need to make sure everybody's on the same page.
I love that, and just starting to open the channel for communication.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, creating that safe space is so important, and where, like you said, they know, right? So they already have that sense. So if you're like, yes, we can do this, and have that line of communication. And you said you have them create a list of questions. Do they read you the list of questions, or do you go and you try to answer them without seeing the list?
No, I don't want to see the list. I don't want to see the questions. What the animal, so Max the horse. So hi, Max, how are you today? Mommy wants to chat. Safe place, something you don't want to talk about, great. Most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, the animals are like, they fling the door open, like, come on in. Great, let's chat, let's talk. Sometimes they've got their own list. Like, right, before we even start, we be talking about this stuff first, and they've got questions. Or the little chihuahua that's like, you better tell mom to fix that because that ain't okay. So sometimes they just start off the session. Normally what will happen is I'll get connected to the animal. I'll hear them say, okay, I can feel the connection, the intuition, the connection is granted. They give me permission. Then I'll ask the person, okay, what is it you'd like to ask or know? And that's how we start off. They can just read their questions, say it out loud, because the animal's listening. And then I hear the response to the question. If the animal doesn't understand it, they'll say, well, I don't understand that. And I'll have the human say it in a different manner or a different way. So they're pretty, I don't hear their voices as much as I get connected to their personalities. I really get connected to the personality of who I'm talking with. It's rarer that I hear an accent or a true voice. It's the personality that comes through. So the less I know, the better. And we just make it a nice, safe place to start when we start chatting. That's the safest way to start any kind of a session that I do. Animals are just so intuitive. They love it. And most of the time they want to chat. They want to talk about stuff.
Which makes sense, right? Because they like, so do they feel like, do animals typically feel like they're not heard?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of times that they don't feel like they're heard. They don't feel like I've been trying to tell you I don't feel good, or I've been trying to show you that I don't feel good. It comes mostly in a physical way, meaning the cat will start spraying everywhere in the house. The dog might be peeing everywhere in the house. They might have a UTI or a kidney infection or something happening or something going on that is medical. And so they'll do something and a behavior to tell mom or dad, okay, I'm not okay. This is not all right. And to try to show them that there's a problem. Most of the time it will show up as the cat using the litter box, or it'll be the dog won't go outside anymore. What's going on? Why isn't that happening? How come the dog's afraid of the backyard now? So the behaviors really change and their attitudes change. But it would be so easy if they could just look in our faces and our eyes and we could just hear them all the time. But that's why it's important to use someone like me, who's credible, who's legitimate, who can really honestly tell you what spirit says, what the animal says, and not only what they're saying, but what they're feeling. So having the ability to go in and say, okay, the right kidney feels off, the left kidney feels a little okay for me, but the liver is not all right, or they're having heart palpitations, or I can tell a presence is connected, or something else is going on. So it's not just the animal speaking. Sometimes it's a mental emotional thing that's happening, and I can feel what's going on, if they've been attacked. I had a dog today that was attacked by another dog, and he just has PTSD. He's just shut down. So we're trying to help him to get through that, not only physically heal, but emotionally heal. So they're super aware that we can help. They gravitate to the people that have the ability to hear them and have the ability to chat with them. And they want help just as bad as we want to help them, 99% of the time.
And I love all of that, you know, and I'm listening to you talk, and what you can't see is that I have a ginormous dog at my feet. And it's funny because she stole my son's slipper. And the entire time that I've been on the phone with you, I don't know if you, like, when I'm off camera, I'm like hard stare. She can't see me because her face is the other direction. And in my head, I'm like, I can see the slipper. And she has it hidden under her chin. And she's sitting there, not moving at all. Because, like, she's tapped in and she's like, oh, no, they can hear me.
She's
like, and it's so funny. She's sitting there like stoic, not moving, like, oh no, they can see me. And so it's really funny listening to you talk and then glancing down at the dog that she's not even moving, not even barking, not moving, not chewing it, nothing. She's like, just like, nope, I'm just going to sit here and pretend nobody can see me.
Yeah.
She can feel your energy. Like, I am convinced listening to you talk, I'm like, I'm going to make her talk to you. And it was funny because she's not moving. So I am a firm believer because I am witnessing. I mean, I was already I believed before we even started talking. I'm like, I can feel it. And I was so, like we talked, I was so excited, right? And so when we have these connections, you're making these connections with the animals. What part, like, when you're talking, so you'll start talking to the animal and you have this open conversation with the client. It's all happening. Is it happening simultaneously?
Yes. Everybody, it's like a three-way conversation. Or if you have more than one animal or another person on the phone, it's a meeting all at the same time. So everybody's listening and everybody's tuned in. Yes.
I really love that. And then does the animal have to be in the room or? No.
Animals do not have to be with you when you're doing the session. That's why I ask for the picture. So I want the picture taken the day of or the day before. You can be in the car, at work, somewhere else. A lot of the times, though, I will hear the person tell me, wow, that's so funny, because as we just got on the phone to talk, here comes Buddy. He was sound asleep in the other room, and here he comes sitting on my lap staring at me. So that animal, Buddy, knew that we're getting ready to talk or chat. A lot of the times the people will tell me, my dog doesn't want to talk about that. He just turned around and walked away. But when we talk about something he wants to talk about, he came right back and was like, hi, okay, this is great. So they witness the behavior as we're chatting, but they don't have to be with you and they don't have to be in the room with you. No.
But I'm sure that witnessing the behavior also confirms for the skeptics, right? For people who are like, all right, I think this is all making sense to me. And, you know, we're trying to have those conversations with the pups. And what is, when you're having these conversations, what are common messages that you typically receive when you're talking to the animals? Like, is there like a common theme, a common thing that pops up quite frequently, or?
I will tell you, with a lot of the canine, a lot of the dog species, they want more treats. They're like, what happened to the chicken? How come I don't get cheese anymore? There's a lot of food driven messages that I receive when we're talking about the dogs, especially if a diet's changed, especially how come the food changed? I get that question. Probably the number one question I get from dogs is, why did the food change? Like, why did you change my food? And that can mean anything from the actual brand, the kibble, the wet food. Right. The flavor, it can be the timing, the amount, it can be all kinds of, why'd you take my topper off? So I find that that's a common theme through the dog world, the canine world, is food seems to be a really a very common issue. Most of the time, the other common thread that I get, no matter the breed or species, is they want more information from their human. They want to know who, what, where, how, when, and why. They want their moms, dads, they want their humans to share with them. They know how to count. They know it by a light and a dark. And it's like, I need to know in five lights the plumber's coming. So they want more information about what to expect and should they worry about it. What should and should not they worry about, and what are their jobs? Those are probably the most common themes I get, is talk to me more, share with me more, and explain more. And once people start doing that, there's huge transformations that happen. Huge. Can't even tell you. It's just, it's like a miracle. Light switch goes on. Everybody's like, no, I could do that.
I think that's so amazing. And, you know, they say communication is the most important thing in any relationship.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, you just literally nail on the head, communication. It's opening up that channel. And then I think once it's understanding how to communicate and just being able to take it to the deeper level. Mind blown.
Yeah, they get it. They understand everything we talk about, but they may not get the details.
Right.
So then over here, the horse might overhear somebody's getting in a horse trailer and just assume it's them. And mom's like, no, we're not getting the new trailer. That's so-and-so. Or we're not going on the trip to Australia. That's my daughter that's going. So they're very in tune and they listen, but they don't get the why and the what behind it. And that's what they miss.
That makes perfect sense. So that's amazing. And just like that, we're already at the end of our second segment. So when we come back, we're going to keep talking about how to continue that conversation with our animals and to deepen that communication. We'll be right back.
Perfect.
Welcome back to The Wow Within. I am joined with Latifa Mina, who is an animal psychic and has talked about how she is able to open the lines of communication to be able to speak with animals so we can have deeper, meaningful communication with them. So thank you again for being back here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Absolutely. And so we talked about the animals that are here. What about the people who have animals that have suffered a loss? So they're animals that have passed on. I'm sure plenty of people reach out to you in regards to that as well, correct?
Yes, that's a large part of the type of readings that I do.
Really?
People, even if they're not sure they believe in this or they believe in an afterlife, an animal... I have more people want to talk about their animals than their family members. So it at least gets them the opportunity to connect. Mm-hmm. The overwhelming sensation of what happens with me in a reading when I connect to an animal that's passed, and sometimes I may not know. Sometimes I know they're passed, sometimes I don't, it just depends on their energy. I really don't ask a client if the animal's crossed or not. Once I've learned or once I understand the animal's past, that animal does a very good job of validating the conversation before we even get started. I do get questioned, how do I know I'm talking, you know, that it's really Fluffy that we're talking to? How do I know it's really, you know, Penny that I've got a hold of? So a lot of the times the animals will just simply give me validation before we even get started. And they'll tell mom, I love the picture they put on the mantle next to my box or collar or whatever, but move it to the other side because I don't like being by the plant or whatever. So they'll give me validations right from the get-go. So it sort of helps the person to come kind of relax and calm down to know that what's happening is real. And that they're getting everybody wants to believe their animals and their humans are safe and happy and whole once they leave the planet. And so it's just another stepping stone. The animals are good about giving us a validation, sure, the humans. They're great about doing that. The other part is some people really want to know what happened. All of a sudden, they just collapsed in the yard and died. Sometimes it's a long cancer journey. Sometimes it's just old age. But every one of my clients reaches out to me. And not only after, but before, is it time? Is it time for them to let them go? What does the animal want? What is the animal's wishes? Do they want to be cremated? Do they want to go now? Do they want to wait another week? I have a lot of clients in various things when it comes to what I call crossing, death and dying, crossing over, and the transition period. So all of that is a part of chatting with an animal, getting ready to leave, and actually being on the other side. The one major thing, everybody, I really want everybody, that's so important. Animals, they keep a connection to the other side that most of the time humans don't keep. They know how to cross into the light. They know how to get home. They look forward to it. It's very familiar. One day too soon is never too soon, but one day too late is horrific. And that's how they view leaving the journey and leaving their physical presence here and moving into the light. So a lot of people struggle with that. Is it, when's the right time? When is it? Was it too late? Was it too soon? But it's a quality of life. And I will tell you, most animals tell me, when I have no quality of life, I have more bad days than good days, make the call, I'm ready.
Which makes sense, right? Because, you know, they're suffering here and there in their animal form. And are you able to provide the families with that comfort, like in that conversation, like, I'm no longer in pain? And are they able to communicate all of those things as well?
Yes, I had a golden doodle the other day who recently crossed, and it was just so funny, because I was like, all right, Murphy, you have got to freaking quit running and sit down so I can talk to you. And Murphy's reply was, but I was sick for so long, I haven't gotten to run forever and ever and ever. And now he's running and he's playing and he's happy and he's jumping and he's just having a ball. So it gives the human still, we get left behind, and that's hard for us because we're left. So it gives that human that validation. They're good. They're happy. They're whole. They didn't take their crap with them. They didn't take the injuries. They didn't take the illness. If they've had a horrific life, they normally get healing done just like we do. So it gives those humans here and their owners a tremendous amount of comfort and a way to have some closure and find some peace about losing. They're just like your kids. I mean, you know, but I always tell my clients that, and this is another common theme, no matter what the breed or species is, they don't understand the purpose of staying in the body only to keep degrading. And so when we present that way, boom, the light bulb goes off with the human. It's like, I get it. And you have to be delicate when the human's keeping the animal for them and they're not doing in the best interest or the highest good of their pet. And so the animals are really good about sharing that to allow their humans to know, I love you, but I can do more in the light. I'll be with you forever. I'll come back in the house. I'll be in spirit with you. And by the way, if you don't get another dog in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to send you 50 to your front door. So they're really great about helping you.
Right. I love that, though. And you said some things that really they hit me. I lost a pup over the past year, and I had her since she was a baby, and she was 14. And I knew she was telling me it was time. And I will tell you, selfishly, I couldn't do it. The mom in me and the mom guilt in me was, I can't, like, she's still alive. Like, she's looking at me like, mom, I'm scared. And I could feel it. And then one day I remember leaving and I felt at peace. And it was like, it kind of changed on its own, and I could feel it. And it was the most amazing feeling in the entire world. But at the same time, I was so grief stricken. And, but I remember that happening. And then that day my grandfather was like, she collapsed outside. And I'm like, and I made all the phone calls. And I just remember looking at her and connecting with her. And the connection that I had with her was deeper than the connection that I had over the past 14 years. Like, I knew she was always independent. I knew she was always stubborn. You know, she was so great. Like, she was such an amazing dog that I probably could have given so much more attention to in hindsight. I'm like, I probably should have done so much more. And, you know, it was that guilt inside of me that I couldn't let her go. And, wow. But then it was her telling me it's okay. And when she told me it was okay, I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to do it. And it's funny because I never actually, for someone who, like, I am very intuitive, I can feel all the things. I never felt like I could talk to her. And then all of a sudden it was like, in that moment, it was like, we connected on a completely different level.
It was there.
It was hard. It was so unbelievably hard. I have her hair right on the side of me right now. So it must be, you know, it's funny because I'm like, oh, she's like right here. And I haven't really thought about it much until we started talking. And it's so hard. And so when we're going through these hard times, what are some practices that we can do when we start to fall back into that rut we've already met and I'm still trying to learn to kind of get through this process? Are there any types of tips that you could give us to as we continue to move through?
I think the biggest thing is making sure, if the roles were reversed, you would want somebody to do that for you. I wish we could do that as humans. We could help our humans to cross. But my coping mechanism in all of this is that I know they're moving into the light. I know they're going into the light. I know they're going to be whole. They're going to be happy. They're going to be healthy. And I can't deny them that privilege or that opportunity to leave here. They've served well. They've done their jobs. They've given all the love they can give. And even if it's not the end of, even if they're not 10 or 12 or 15, even if it's a behavior issue, sometimes animals are psychotic or mentally ill like we get. They always know moving into the light and going home is one of the most peaceful things they could ever want to do. And who am I not to allow that? I mean, I have to allow them to find the end of their journey and to help them. I tell my clients, it's an obligation we take when we bring our animals into our house and we love them. It's an obligation to allow them to leave. And I get this, but they're still eating. Well, she's still wagging her tail. She's still walking. But a lot of the times we don't take into account the mental or the emotional things that are happening. We just see the physical part. And it becomes very emotional when I can't run anymore. I can't walk anymore. I can't play anymore. My pride is hurt because you have to pick me up to do anything. And it's a prideful thing. So there's a whole lot of the gamut of not just the physical, but the mental, emotional that I think a lot of the vets, and I love my vets, I love everybody. I just, sometimes we just don't take that into account. We just don't look at it that way. As long as they're eating and wagging their tail, everything's good. And that's not the case.
I totally get that.
Yeah. They get horrific.
Right. And you know, and it's like I said, for me personally, like it was that selfishness and within myself where I had to have that heart to heart conversation and say, it's not about me. And that was probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do. So I feel that to the core. And so thank you so much for talking about that. I know it can be really tough to talk about the loss of an animal, but at the same time, like it's changing from that grief to gratitude, being able to change our mindset to get into a better place, right? Because they're our babies. So That was a beautiful conversation. So thank you for that. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about behavior and how to continue to connect in ways that we can grow our relationships to make it even better. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jen Potter, the host, and I am here with Latifa Mina, who has been talking to us about her communication with animals and how she's able to bridge the gap between humans and animals to make our relationship that much better. Whether they're here on Earth or whether they passed over, she has the ability to talk to them and create fulfillment. So thank you so much for being here again. And our conversations have just been flying by. I got a little emotional on, you know, the third segment talking about my pups. But thank you again for your wisdom and your knowledge. And, you know, across the board, we started talking about, you know, animals and their behaviors and, you know, their lines of communication. And on one of the breaks, I was like, oh my goodness, I have someone that I want to connect you with, because currently she is dealing with a pup who has been biting. And they're talking about having to possibly put the pup down because she's been biting so much. And so there's a behavior that's obviously underlying and they can't figure it out. And all of a sudden I was like, you are the person that I need to connect them with. So there's obviously something that's going on. So when we talk about pets and their behaviors and there's something beneath the surface, how are you able to start to understand what it is that might be triggering those things?
So basically, the animals will lash out or act in a manner that they feel represents safety for them, just like we do. Right. So when I get an animal, whether it's a dog, a cat, a horse, whatever it may be, who's biting, kicking, screaming, beginning to understand what, number one, is it fear? Why is there anxiety? Why is there fear? And what's triggering that? In the animal world, it's a lot more accepted in the animal kingdom to do other types of modality healing than just a human going to the psychiatrist and getting drugs.
Right.
We actually do more deeper healing. Animals experience PTSD like we do. Something has happened either in a past life or in a current life with this pup to something triggers where the processing piece stops. So, okay, this is so-and-so in front of me. I don't like this. I don't feel safe. Boom, there's a behavior. The biting happens or the lunging or attacking or whatever it is. So understanding where the processing stops. Most animals can process like humans. I'm in this situation. Is it safe? How do I feel? How's your energy? Are you, what's your intent? But sometimes when you can't get through all of those layers of processing, you just stop and you just lash out. And that's your coping mechanism for fear and for safety. A conversation would be what's triggering you. Also being intuitive enough to feel what the animal's feeling. Okay, I see that you don't like this male or this man because it reminds you of this, or the emotion that comes from that, or the feeling that comes from that. So then we figure out what that is, and no judgments. I'm not angry. I'm not judging. I'm understanding why an animal does its behavior. Then we move farther down to figure out, is this something, A, which is super important, is the animal willing to release this and heal? Not every animal is willing to let it go. And I find that amazing. And I, as a metaphysical person, that's hard for me to wrap my head around, because why wouldn't everything and everyone want to feel better, get better, and heal? But sometimes that's not our journey. So if the animal's open to receiving some healing, then we do things like body code, emotion code, belief code. We do some PTSD work, esoteric healing. We go in and we find the imprints and we help the animals to release them, and we help the animals to let go of what no longer serves them, no matter where it's come from or how long they've had it. Some animals are super willing and some are like, nope, not going to change a thing. This is the way I am. If I explain to an animal that this behavior is not accepted because I can't go out and hit everybody I don't like, I can't go just kill everybody I don't want to be around. Mm-hmm. We have rules and boundaries, And if we can't help you to change, then we have to get you to leave the planet and move you into spirit. Animals, every single time I've ever told an animal, like, I'd love that, please, because it puts them out of their own misery and angst and anxiety. When I get an animal that's truly, I call them a serial killer, they love to be aggressive and they love to bite because they truly love the euphoricness of it. That animal put down immediately. It's not a fear. It's like they love having that kind of control. That's just not safe. Versus an animal that's truly gets triggered.
Right.
This guy's okay. This person's okay. That person's okay. This person's like, okay, wait, we need to help them to process better and show my mom and dad that when this happens, instead of you attacking or biting, this is what I need you to do. But the humans need to be on board with that. The humans have to allow their animals the opportunity to change, that to come sit behind. So many times we as the humans, the owners, we just want to force them to like that person. We want to force them to ignore their own feelings and their own red flags and the warning bells that are going off. We don't understand that it's a deeper thing. Most of the time it can be healed. Most of the time, if we have the time and compassion, we can heal the underlying stuff that's happening and change the behavior. So now instead of biting, they'll just do a growl or show teeth. Mom and dad's job is to remove that person from the room or the situation and move on. And if a person isn't willing to do that, then the dog needs to be with somebody that will be. But, you know, we're not all in control of that. Right. I'm not against an animal leaving when it is horrific for them in any circumstance, when the behavior is unsafe, and or when they truly are at an exit point of their horrificness and they're in so much physical, mental, or emotional pain, or spiritual as well. But nobody can make that decision but the owner of the animal. Right. And so they get the vets, they get everybody involved, they try the drugs, sometimes the drugs work, but you're just band-aiding. So healing it from within, and that's what I would tell your friend, is we need to figure out what that trigger is, where, I'm not so much concerned where it came from, but what triggers it, and is the animal willing to do some healing? That's the biggest question.
And I love that, right? Because if they're not willing, you get your answer, right? Like, you know, they're like, nope, I'm out. And even that aggressive serial killer type of mentality, the mom in me started going, oh my goodness, all of this makes so much sense. I can take what I do to my five-year-old and I can put that in place with my dog, because it's very similar, right? Like when kids lash out and you're like, but I don't understand what you're saying. Well, we don't understand toddlers, but somehow we figure out a way to communicate and soothe, right? And so like when you were saying that, and I was thinking about my own pup who is very loud, but she's very sweet. And, you know, I just started thinking, I'm like, what are some things that I can do? And just like you said, removing other people, because I tell our kids, you don't have to be friends with everybody. And if you don't like how someone makes you feel, don't be friends with them. That's fine. And the same goes for animals. If your animal doesn't like someone, that's totally okay. Like, I don't like everybody, and that's okay. And I love your methods. I love how you broke it down. And every segment that we talked, I had like an aha moment. And it was beautiful throughout this entire conversation. I looked at the time. I'm like, how is the show already over? And so it's been a pleasure having you on. If you'd like to tell our audience, absolutely, how they can get a hold of you, if there's, you know, your social media and things like that, because I'd love for them to connect and know how
I'm on Facebook, of course. I really don't do the LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, stuff like that. I'm an old fogey. I just, I do have Facebook, but the best way is just to hit my website. You can Google my name, Latifa Mina. It'll come right up. Or the website is Animals Can Talk, all one word, animalscantalk.com. Either one, you can Google animal communicator, and I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, of all places. So there's plenty of ways to find me, and you can reach out through the website. My phone number is out there everywhere. You can text me, you can email me, you can call me, all of that. I'm very open to receiving new clients. I'm taking on new clients all the time, even though I've got a nice set. But my goal is to help as many animals and humans as possible, and to help them to understand that if the humans can just change a little bit of how they think and feel, just like you said, you know, you tell your kids, you don't got to be friends with everybody. We need to give that opportunity to our animals as well and not force them. Well, I want a dog that just wants to go out and likes everybody and blah, blah, blah. Well, that may, this may not be the right dog for you. So we have to get people to know their animals have feelings. Their animals are not robots. They should have the opportunity to tell you what they like and don't like. And our job is to listen. Our job is to listen to what they're trying to share with us and what they're trying to tell us. That's the biggest brunt of everything. So just listen and be more available to what they're trying to tell you. The other thing too is making sure they can help animals in their behavior is jobs. Making sure that your animals are aware of the jobs. Your job is to be safe. Your job is to be whole. Your job is to be happy. Your job is to be healthy. Your job, I don't need to know about the squirrels, but I do want to know if somebody's at my front door. So we help them to know what they should and should not worry about. Okay, Tess, you can have the slipper, but it's not your job to destroy it, but you can play with it. Good job. So we give them jobs because it takes away the pressure of, mommy just wants me to do it. It's like if you're a five-year-old, I'm not going to do it because mom just wants me to do it. But when it's a job and you're helping mom by not destroying the slipper, Tess, you're helping me. Good job. Great. Play with it. But your job is to keep it safe. It changes the intent behind what we're asking and it gives them more validation and purpose. And that's another big piece of the puzzle a lot of animals really need. So
I love that so much. And I'm like looking over. I'm like, did she eat the slipper? She did great. She did great. She did great. So thank you so much for being here today. It was a pleasure. I look forward to future conversations with you. And for everyone listening and watching, thank you so much for joining us. And if you have questions and want to reach out to her, please feel free. Like she said, you can go to her website or you can Google her and she is readily available to help you and your animals. Thank you for joining The Wow Within. Until next time, have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was great. That went by.